No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9-1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Kingdoms Queens podcast. We are officially 86 days away from the NFL kickoff, and that is pretty exciting. So we are here to discuss all things Chiefs offseason with you guys today, which includes us re-signing Mecole Hardman, OTAs, mini camp, ring ceremony coming up, all that good stuff. So I'm your host, Lexi.
Hey, y'all, what's up? I'm Jody. So, let's get into it. This week, it looks like we re-signed Mecole Hardman and brought him back to this receiving squad. Looks like it's only a one-year deal for $1.25 million. Not a big cap hit at only $985,000. Now, I do believe Mecole deserves more than a one-year deal. I feel like the last few years, he's only been stuck with a one-year deal. It doesn't matter what team he's on. It's only been a one-year deal, and he's been a lot more beneficial. So I'm very happy that he is back, but they could have gave him like a two-year deal. Like, the receiving room isn't going to change much. So
I feel like what Veach did this offseason is he just gave every returning veteran we had that he wanted back from the two-peat squad, he just gave them all like a one-year deal, minus like Drew Tranquil and maybe a select few others. But other than that, it's been pretty much one-year deals across the board. And but honestly, I'm really excited to have Mecole back. I think he is a great addition. I think he's great for the locker room. He clearly gets along with everyone really well. So I'm good with it. I mean, he was clutch when we needed him in the Super Bowl. He scored the winning touchdown. I think that's the perfect like vibes you want to bring back for next season and trying to get the three-peat. So I'm glad they brought him back.
No, I am too. I mean, I feel like at the end of last season, I was like, this is somebody they need to bring back. So I'm glad that we didn't play the game that we played last year of not even entertaining, giving him an offer and then him going to play for the Jets and then that not working out and him coming back mid-season. My lighting is shit today.
I know. So Jody's in a different location today, so we apologize.
Sorry, everybody. It's awful. So I'm going to try not to have an attitude about it. I'm super excited that he's back because there's multiple reasons. Like, and we can even get into talking about the wide receiver room now, but he's definitely a veteran with this team. He's played with so many different guys that have taught him to be kind of the weapon that he is for this team today. He also is going to be able to come in here and not only be a veteran for this room, but he understands that playbook like the back of his hand. So where some players may come in like a Hollywood Brown or even our newer guys, you know, Xavier Worthy, where they may come in and have a lot of questions about the playbook because it is very difficult. He'll be able to help them understand that. And he's a special teams guy too. So knowing Xavier Worthy is probably going to come in and might have some of those snaps, especially on like kickoff returns and things of that nature, he'll be able to really break that down and translate that to him too. So, you know, bringing him back is good for more than just speed. Like, of course, we have a ton of speed on this team and it's incredible, but the knowledge that he has in his brain that he's going to be able to translate to all of these guys and to really be kind of that leader that we were looking for. Mm-hmm. Last year, we spoke a lot about who's the leader in the wide receiver room, and we really kind of know who that guy is this year. So,
yeah, and I feel like you said, he just brings, he knows the playbook really well, as opposed to, like, I know some people wanted to see us bring in, like, even we weren't opposed to it, like a Michael Thomas or something like that, but, you know, yeah. Bring a guy like that in, he doesn't know Andy Reid's playbook at all. And so a guy like Mecole Hardman, he's just going to know that. And I think the locker room really, really likes him. I think that shows throughout. And I don't know. I'm really good with it. I think it kind of elevates what we have already. He's so fast. He adds to the speed element. Even if it's just a few, even if he just has what, like a 500 yard season, like,
He'll have more than that.
Yeah.
But even, yeah, like he'll for sure have more than that. Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm excited about it. I think people in Chiefs Kingdom, I think a lot of, there's like a few naysayers that I see, and a lot of it is just like,
I don't understand that either.
I don't either. I think a lot of it is just guys trolling and being like, oh, this is what you want to bring back. And they show like a drop of his or whatever.
Well, it kind of shows that like people really don't know ball.
No, because, he actually had our longest play of the Super Bowl as well. Not even just his short catch to win it, but like he had the longest play, which was unfortunately the next play, Isaiah Pacheco fumbled, which is unlike Pacheco as well. But he had that long, really long stretch of the field. So,
I mean, but it's more than that, right? Mecole has been on this team for five seasons. This would be his fifth season returning back to Kansas City.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like,
people, the Jets was just like, that was like a fever dream.
Yeah. I don't even count that. Like, he was here with us. He went to the ring ceremony. He was here. But I mean, it's bigger than that. Like, having Mecole Hardman on the field definitely opens up the playbook for like the jet sweeps and the things of that nature. And we know that is specifically what he is going to come back and he's going to do and he's going to bring this year. So for people to be upset about it, it's like they haven't watched the last 5 or 6 years of what Mecole Hardman is and what he has been. You know that he's not the number one receiver on this team. Like,
right.
If you can understand that he's not the number one or the number two receiver on this team, then you would not have a problem with him coming back. He's going to come back and have his role, and it's going to be more than enough.
Especially with the potential of Rashee Rice getting suspended this season, because I know now there's talks of, like, maybe that being next season. We have no idea, so I'm not going to, like, say that. But it could definitely be this season, too. And so if Rashee Rice is suspended, like, we need someone like Mecole in there. So
overall, and you never know with the NFL. Roger Goodell is – they do what they want to do, especially when it comes to suspension. Feel like they're really particular about like who the guy is and what the team is too. Cause some guys they're like, oh, in the middle of the season, they're like, oh yeah, we're going to give this guy a 7-game suspension. Or they'll be like, you know what? We can just wait till next season. And they're really, cause the thing about Rashee Rice is they definitely have all the information they need. And I know that like, there's still some things going on in the court, whatever, but they still have enough information to at least kind of be like, okay, well, with what we have, we're gonna say you're gonna be suspended for 4 or 6 games. Like, they have that, so we'll see.
Well, okay, so I think we should dive into our wide receiver room a little bit, just with the addition of Mecole Hardman and what we've seen so far in OTAs and minicamp. So today the big story was that of course Rashee Rice was the biggest standout today, which I love for him. However, I'm really struggling. Like, okay, I'm really excited about Rashi Rice and the potential of his season two, because I know it's going to be fantastic. However, I'm struggling with like being overly excited because I do not know how much playing time you're going to get. I don't know right now if you're going to be suspended or not. And I don't know how many games that's going to be. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to be excited about Rashi Rice. Like, I'm very excited about his potential and everything he's showing. And I think he's going to take a huge step forward in whatever role he plays. And I think if he didn't have the offseason drama, I think he would be wide receiver one.
So I think that, I think a few things, right? We are blessed to, this wide receiver room is so much better from last year. There's literally nothing that can make me upset at this point. Like, there's literally, I don't think there's a single thing that can make me be like, oh my God, I'm so frustrated.
I'm going to be Chrissy and knock on wood.
Because- but if, even if we just were to run with four, the four main receivers, and that would be, of course, like Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, Rashi Rice, and Mecole Hardman. If we just ran with those four, and that doesn't even include the rest of the guys who are in that locker room who can come in and be impact players when we need them to be. If we were to just run with those four, the significant improvement over last year to this year alone is like, yeah, we're going to the Super Bowl. Like, just with those four guys alone. I'm like, we're going to the Super Bowl. Like, I don't even care about the other 15 people who we have currently on the 90-man receiver roster that we have right now. But with that all being said, I think that's why I'm not super, like, stressed out about the Rashi Rice thing. Because we already know him and Pat have a great connection. He's been in Texas working with Pat this year and last season. I feel like he did learn a lot last year that's going to help him really be that impact player that he needs to be this year. Even if we don't have him at the beginning of the year, all I can say is, you know what? Hey, it is what it is. When we need him to come in and be that rotational piece, especially in the middle or the back half of the season, especially because we have this super early bye. Say we do lose Rashi the first six games. Okay, that means he would come back after the bye week because the bye is week six. A lot of the guys who played those first few weeks, they're going to be tired. So for him to be able to come in with a fresh mindset, fresh body, fresh legs, I think that's really going to help alleviate some stress off of the other three guys who I mentioned. And that doesn't even include who the other fifth or maybe sixth receiver is. So,
right. And I feel like people are forgetting about Justin Watson this offseason a little bit.
Because
like
he's going to definitely be on this team.
He's definitely,
like, he's definitely, and I want him to be like, if he's going to do exactly what he did last season, yes, sign me up for that.
And he had to come up, like, he had to play a role he wasn't needed to play last, or he wasn't expected to play last season, where he had to come up clutch for us a few times, where it's like, you're not expecting a guy like Justin Watson to have to do that.
Yeah.
And yet he did. And he did have a few drops here and there, not as bad as some of the guys, of course, but.
Yeah, no.
He put up clutch when he needed, when we really needed him to. And so I feel like even if he can alleviate some of those plays this season, like, he's an exciting, like, wide receiver five for me.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Justin Watson is going to come in and get 2 yards. He's going to have two catches for 60 yards. And I'm going to be like, perfect. Thank you for your services today. Sit down and we'll see you next week for your next catches for 60 yards. Like,
maybe a touchdown, maybe a red zone play.
or, you know, you need that long first down. And he played that role a lot for us last season.
Throw the defense off.
I will say, I think that's another great thing. Like, we don't even know who our number one receiver is. And we watch this team all day, every day, even in the offseason. And I know that that's kind of something that we triggered with last year, right? The experiment of let's keep seven wide receivers and we don't know who's going to be number one and let's see how that plays out. I still think they're going to have that mentality going into this season. I don't think we're going to keep seven. I do think they're still going to have that. We don't want you to know who's the number one guy because we don't have a number one guy. Yeah. Whoever gets the ball is going to be ready and they're going to make an impact. I think that's also their mindset too. Like, they don't want to be like, I don't have to be the number one guy. I just want to come in and make plays and get wins.
Make a difference. So. Yeah. And I think that's the difference from last year. This year is we're like, oh, there's so many random skilled guys that have different skill sets, and we don't need a wide receiver one. It'll be fine. Yeah. The difference is a lot of these guys have potential to be the wide receiver one, which last year it was like they were all wide receiver three-ish, you know?
Yeah, you didn't know who was who. Like, yeah. You knew you had Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
And we're not even talking tight ends right now. We're just strictly focusing on the wide receiver core.
Yeah, and I would say, like, Rashi Rice, but we weren't, like, sure. Like, yeah, he showed really
good flashes. At the end of the season.
But at the end of the season, you'd be like, okay, yeah, he's wide receiver one. But going into the season, we had no idea he was going to be that way.
But if you sit back and think about last season, it was a clusterfuck, right? And I think we all know that. But we feel like the offense really – and this is my take. I feel like the offense really didn't start clicking and forming until Mecole Hardman came back. And I know a lot of people are going to hate hearing that. But as soon as we brought Mecole back, and even if it was just on kickoff returns or whatever – that is when the offense really started kind of flowing and getting back on track. And I remember Mecole last year saying, like, when he came back, he couldn't understand why we were overcomplicating the process. He was like, why are we doing this? Like, there were so many things that we were doing, he said, that it didn't feel like it was natural to who we were as an offense.
Right.
And as soon as, like, he kind of said that, and then they started, like, simplifying the playbook and not overthinking it and not overcomplicating it, that's kind of when they started getting their mojo back and they went on their run. So that's one reason why I'm like, Mecole Hardman is definitely going to come in and he's going to be that voice in the locker room of what are we doing? Why are we doing this? This is how we do it. This is how we fix it. And even though he is the fun loving ha 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 guy, he's very much still going to be able to speak the truth about who we are as an offense, because he's been in it for so many years. Mm-hmm. So if we can just pick up from where we left off, which I'm almost positive is going to happen, then there's like no, I mean, think about it. Last year we struggled to get like 27 points a game. And that made no sense at all. Like,
no.
What do you mean? I think this year we can go back to like the season before when we were having 30 point games every game.
Even with just having Juju there the season before, like just a really solid wide receiver. That was a struggle. And I think Rashi, if he weren't a rookie last year, like, I think he would have been that guy, but he was still finding his footing, rightfully so. So, like, I think with him this year, knowing the offense so well, I think with Hollywood Brown coming in and him already connecting with Mahomes, I think they have to work on it a little bit because it's going to be a little iffy at first. But I think as long as they get that down and you get that, and I don't really know what to expect from Xavier Worthy yet because he has been out with a little hamstring issue and he hasn't been able to do too much at OTA. So we're not hearing a ton about him yet. Hopefully he'll be good to go for training camp come end of July. But
I'm sure he will be. I mean, you know, just like anybody else, how tough training camp is. So if that means you got to sit out of mini camp, because Andy's going to work your butt in training camp, then, you should definitely sit down. And the thing is, though, like, what we are hearing, you know, the reports that we are hearing is he's on the sideline asking a ton of questions. He's on the sideline excited. He's on the sideline still going over that playbook and asking those questions about what's happening. So, I mean, those are the positive things. You know, he could have missed, right? He could have showed up today for the first time. But he didn't. So,
like someone else we know.
Oh, yeah. That was shade to Kadarius Toney. Because why are you on this team? But no, he could have done that and he didn't. So, I mean, that just shows that he really, really, really invested and he has that grit. And even if he doesn't play a ton in the beginning, because they made baby that hamstring till week one. Even if they do that, I mean, we play a lot of football. We play 21 weeks of football. So if it's June and we got to sit down and make sure you're good and getting the training that you need, and I bet you he's working with Bobby too. You know what I mean? So that makes me also very excited because I know Bobby knows how to handle all of those different things that go on in the body.
Right.
I mean, he did a lot of off-season work with him, too. So, I mean, it's kind of a blessing in disguise, honestly, if you're going to have to sit out and watch. I would rather you be getting that practice later. And that love with the people who are there. So that's for sure. I do want to ask a quick question before we transition. So still talking about the wide receiver room, but, you know, I also want to talk about, you know, the quarterbacks, right? So not only is Patrick Mahomes a great quarterback, a great coach, and he's really able to dive into this playbook and teach these guys these things, bringing in a veteran like Carson Wentz, who can really just like bring his veteranship and teach another element to the game that this team hasn't seen. I'm also very excited about that and the impact that that will have on the receiver room too. What do you think that looks like? Because Carson is probably playing with like the threes and the fours, right? So he's probably out there with like the Mecole Harmon,
like the twos and the threes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though we don't know who two or three is.
No, but
kind of makes you think he's with everybody.
Someone he shouted out the other day in his, I think it was last week in his press conference from OTAs, was he said Remigio. I think that's how you say it. Remigio. He shouted him out. He gave him a big shout out and said, you know, with a lot of the guys being kind of limited or whatever it is, like he's getting a lot of reps and he's just out there constantly making plays. Like he's constantly making a difference. He doesn't slow down. He is the one to kind of keep our eyes on, I think, through training camp. And it was last year too, until he got injured. So I think he has a real chance to make the team and maybe take out either a Sky Moore or Kadarius Toney for their roster spots.
Why wouldn't? So in my mind, right, I get that Sky Moore is on his rookie deal. God bless. Right. Fine. Third year. Yeah, but let's think. There's so many third-year guys on this team that are at a new.
Pretty much everyone except
when you compare that. His class.
I know.
If I'm comparing the rest of your class to you, you are.
It's not great. Not great.
It's so bad. Like when you have the Drew Trank, not the Drew Tranquil, Lord, the George Karloftis, and the Trent McDuffie and the Isaiah Pacheco. When you have like. All of these other guys who are going into their third year and you see like the difference in them, like mentally, physically, like you see it. And then you look at Sky Moore and you're like.
The thing is with Sky is like, I actually think he tries really hard. Like you see him like working really hard in the off season and he's always down there with Patrick and Dallas. And I'm like, something is just really not clicking for him.
Put him on the like, special teams and keep him there. I'm like, put him on a special team. Like, if you're gonna stay on this team, I do not want to see.
Like, there's nothing I want more than for our guys to succeed. I want nothing more than for Sky Moore to succeed. But so far, and all we've heard in training camp, and now I heard something today where he was playing with Carson Wentz today in mini camp. And they were saying he caught a really good pass. He broke a few tackles and made a touchdown, right? I don't know what that tells me just from minicamp, but.
If the media was watching, then that, you know, practice is always, and I'll say this. When I worked for the Dallas Cowboys and I would have to go out to training camp every year, we would always laugh at like the practice that they put on for like the media and the fans and then the real practice that they have behind the scenes. And so because I was behind the scenes, like you could definitely see the difference in like, all right, we actually gonna practice versus all right, we gonna turn it on for the fans and throw a couple long passes and let them catch the ball and cheer and blah, blah, blah. So I mean, if it's in front of the media, you know, Andy's not showing a single thing. No. So if, which tells me like, I don't think they're out there just like truly like beating each other up. So, you know, if Sky Moore's catching a good pass or two, that's fantastic. But did anybody really try to tackle him? I'm like, did they just do like a hand in the face and kept it moving? Like, who knows? So, I mean, it's still early though. And I'm not going to, I don't know how I feel about it. If I had to pick Sky Moore or Kadarius Toney, I'm going to say Sky Moore, right? Just because healthier. I would because he's healthier than Kadarius Toney.
And he's a little more. What's the
Kadarius Toney is definitely.
Sky Moore's a little more of a team player.
Correct. That's what I was going to say. Kadarius Toney is definitely more of a he's more of an athletic player than Sky Moore. Like, that's easy to notice. But he's not healthy. And Sky Moore is healthy. And if I had to just randomly pull somebody, Sky Moore could be activated every single game. Kadarius Toney probably would not be because of whatever. And he's not drama. So
right. And he's not going live talking ill about the team.
I mean, Kadarius Toney, this is his last year, seriously.
Yeah.
Sky could potentially start this season.
Mania over Moore. What do you think? I mean, maybe.
I 1,000% agree.
Right now, I agree.
Well, I think I agree last season, too. Like, I know last year a lot of people were like, no, I'm not giving up on Sky Moore. And I'm like, you know what? I love that confidence in you guys. Like, you're right. You should not give up on Sky.
Yeah, sure.
I agree. Like, you should not. I agree. I did not have any faith, but I loved the faith that people had. Like, I fully got it. But then as the season went around, I was like,
yeah. Oh, no, it's not good.
Anyway, 100% happy about this room right now. Can't wait to see just like a little bit more from them. And
we'll have just more conversations, of course. The rest of the room is there's so much potential. Like, it's so exciting.
Like, so if you go through the depth chart of all of the receivers that are currently on the roster, like a lot of the guys who will probably end up on the practice squad, some of those guys are, I would say, are better than
what we have.
Let me not say this. I don't want to say that they're necessarily better than Sky Moore, but and I'm not going to say they're better than Kadarius Toney, but I think that there's a lot of upside there to where with a lot of practice and time and one-on-one, they could definitely probably replace him. But you don't know if you don't get the time to be out there to do it, how would you know if this person's better?
Yeah.
Especially when it's 90 guys. Like,
mm-hmm.
that's kind of tough. So, but no, we can get into the DT room. I know there were some things you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, so first and foremost, our thoughts and prayers go out to BJ Thompson and his family.
So glad he's back home.
So glad. What happened with him last week was absolutely tragic.
Terrifying.
For those of you that maybe didn't hear or don't know, he ended up having a seizure in a special teams meeting and went into cardiac arrest. And luckily, I think they said it was actually Harrison Butker that got up really quickly and went into the training room, got
to notify
Rick Burkholder and Julie Freimeyer, one other guy, I'm blanking on the name, got them in there immediately. They were able to save his life in like a minute and a half. They are all heroes. So just big shout out to all of them for quickly acting and making sure that BJ Thompson had a chance to live. And that's amazing. And just really, really glad he's okay. He was in the hospital for a few days and now he is back home. So that is incredible. Shout out to our medical team because that's just huge. Like,
the Chiefs medical staff is very special. They're very special for a lot of reasons. And this is like one reason that like really proves like how important just medical staffs are in the NFL. Like, we went through this two seasons ago with the DeMar Hamlin thing, right? But I will say I love the amount of awareness that that brought to all 32 teams, because now it is making sure that if you have a defibrillator on site, that it is working and it is active. And even if it's not being used in years, making sure that, you know, every single team has this, or all the players going through and learning CPR and learning how to identify and, you know, to be like Harrison Butker and immediately realize we got to go get somebody to help this and not kind of get stuck in the moment. Like, oh my God, what's happening?
We do.
Very reactionary because every second matters when it's something like that. So, and as someone who went through I had my own heart issues when I was a baby, hearing this story gave me like anxiety for one. I was like, oh my God. But two, I'm glad that, you know, if something like this is to happen to anyone, it happened where it happened. It happened at the Chiefs facility where there was a lot of people who would be able to help get him back. So very happy that he is back home. We don't know what's next with him, right? We don't know how the Chiefs are going to take this or what precautions they're going to go next with him. But I know that it's probably a little bit of a journey for him to get back on track or whatever.
Definitely. And so he was he's technically a backup defensive line for us. We dropped him last season. But I think he was making bigger strides to kind of be maybe one of the.
Oh, yeah, he's a baller.
Second string kind of this season. So
I think. A rotational guy. Yeah.
Yeah, a rotational guy for sure. So I think kind of what was like notable today was that the Chiefs did bring in four defensive line, specifically interior defensive line guys, to try out during minicamp. And so it was a guy we had, we had one guy from the Arizona Cardinals, Rashad Lawrence. We had a UDFA defensive tackle, Alex Gubner. We had a guy from the Chargers last season, defensive tackle, Brevin Allen. And then a guy from Andy Reid's alma mater, BYU, his name is Jackson Cravens.
That'll probably be who they keep.
Right.
If you know, you know. They're going to put every BYU guy on his roster if they can.
I just think that speaks to them where they are with defensive tackle is they're exercising four different guys. And also, I think, I don't know why Derek Naughty has been out. He's been out with an injury, so he's – interior defensive line as well. Then you had Isaiah Bugs, who had his kind of drama. We won't even get to that. His offseason drama.
He doesn't even have to come back to this team.
He was there today. And they were planning on him coming. I don't know. So I think there's a little concern with the interior defensive line. So no, I'm curious. For sure. These are guys to keep eyes on for sure. Just in the next month.
I mean, it's that. Well, and my thing is this, like, one, we already know what our defensive tackles, like how great they are. So to be able to identify immediately that we need to go ahead and just maybe find some additional people who, even if they end up on the practice squad and we can bring them up later, we can do that. I'm totally fine with that. I still think that, you know, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with BJ. I don't know.
I don't know
if they're going to – he may not come back till like, the middle of the season, right? I'm sure they're going to run all kind of tests and all kind of stuff on him before they make a decision on that. And Andy Reid is a father, so he's definitely not going to rush him back at all by any means. And even when he says he thinks he's good and he's ready, coach is going to be like, no. So I'm okay if they – I'm definitely okay if they go out and they get guys and they bring them in. I'm sure he wants to. Yeah. He's going to be like, okay, fine. And they're going to be like, you literally just went into cardiac arrest last week. Like, no. I'm definitely, I'm glad that they're going out and identifying that we need to add some depth there because, again, it's a very long season. And when you look at this season, all I can think about is that week six bye, and that stresses me out.
I know. Because
there's still so much football after that bye. And if you don't get that number one seed, you don't have a bye. So there is just a lot of consecutive football that will be played after week six. And so if that means getting depth now and even maybe getting more depth later before the trade deadline or whatever – I know that Veach and them are going to do exactly what it is they need to do to make sure that we're good. So we can kind of talk a little bit about mini camp today. Today was kind of chaos. So I didn't really see a lot of the clips, but I did in between meetings have a chance to listen to the press conference today. So that was kind of cool. Did you see any clips that were spectacular besides 15-4? I saw that and was like,
yeah.
Oh, that can happen all day, every day. I love that. That can always happen. 15-4 can always happen.
I heard that was the best connection of the day.
It was fantastic. It was beautiful.
I want to say, who was it that had a pick? It might have been Josh Williams. Let me see.
While you're looking that up, I will say I'm super excited about what was I about to say? I forgot. Yep, I forgot. Let me feel a little dancing.
For some reason, there was rumor of Isaiah Pacheco not participating in everything, but he cleared that up during his press conference.
Oh, yeah, he cleared that up real quick.
He's like, Isaiah, I definitely participated in everything.
So. You know, I actually loved his press conference today. Someone mentioned it in... Isaiah Pacheco. Wait, what? You said who?
Oh, I just you said watched his press conference today, right?
Yeah, did you say
who? I just said me too.
Oh, okay. And so, like, the very first thing that I noticed, and someone said it out loud, I was like, God, Isaiah looks, you know, good, like, trim and slim. And oh, yeah. It's funny because that was one of the very first questions that one of the media guys asked him. They were like, mm-hmm. Hey, you're looking a lot smaller this year. Like, what's going on? So, you know, he spoke about how when he was drafted, when he came out of the combine, he said he was weighing 216 pounds. And he said last season he played between like 208 and 210, 210 yeah. pounds. And right now he said he's fluctuating between 206 and 207. And I know that like it's only one or 2 pound difference, which fun fact, it's June 11th. Right. By July, he'll probably be down another 2 or 3 pounds if he doesn't keep eating because of this weather. But he just looks really good and really fit. And you know, sometimes people lose weight and they just look bad. Like he looks still like very toned, very trim, like. And, you know, when they say, like, sometimes you lose a little weight, you move a little faster. So, I mean, I can't wait to see, like, what he looks like. Like, I can't wait to see, like, what his weight is when it's time for the season to start. Like, is he going to bulk up and gain that weight back? Or is he going to keep that kind of slim and trim demeanor? And it's crazy to say, like, slim and trim because it's only a difference of, like, 2 or 3 pounds. But if you've seen him today, you would be like, oh, wow. Like, he's very, like, toned. So
no, you can tell. It's crazy.
You can definitely tell. It looks good.
It was actually Brian Cook that had the interception, and it was actually off of Travis Kelce. So I love to see stuff like that.
Well, and
I love it for Kelce. I love to see that from Brian Cook.
Well, and that was, like, one of the very first things Trav said today in his press conference. He spoke so highly about Brian Cook today and just his ability and what he's doing on the difference and what he's bringing. And he's like, he's back healthy. And we already know what he's going to be able to do on this defense this season, which I think is so, like, I'm so happy that he is healthy to start this season off because losing him last season really sucked. Yes. So he is going to really this season, like, if he's already doing this right now in training camp, then you can't ask for anything better than that. You're picking off the GOAT at the tight end position in the NFL.
Literally. And you're picking off again, to the
if it was in front of the media, you know, did Travis stop running? You know what I mean? Like, there's some things you can play in there. Like, did Trav stop running because it was 90 degrees today and it was hot outside?
And we know he hates
the heat. There's a very high possibility of that.
We know but Travis hates the heat, so he will.
Trav. I hate it too.
Same. But can I say, one thing that I think is hilarious is that I don't think I realized last season, off season at least, that Isaiah Pacheco has a mouth. Like, he is the one out there trash talking on every play. And they're like, I think he missed maybe like a day of OTAs last week, which those aren't required. And he was with them for most of them. But like, I think he missed a day. They were like, well, practice was way quieter without him there today. So.
Yeah. Well, and you know,
but I love that he's out there like fueling guys and he's the trash talker. I just love that about him.
And it's someone asked him as well today about like, you know, hey Isaiah, talk to us about the running back room. Like he was like, we know it's you this season. We got CEA, Clyde Edwards-Helaire this season. Yeah. Like, when you think about the other guys, you know, what are your thoughts about them? And he's like, man, this whole entire room is like lit. Like he was like, this whole room is good. He's like, everybody's good. Yeah. Everybody's hustling. We all get along. We all understand. We all want it. And I will say like, that is the one thing that like makes me. So let me just say this real quick. I have been kind of all over the sports world this off season. More than normal, right? So watching a lot of baseball, watching a lot of WNBA, watching a lot of NBA, a whole bunch happening. And the one thing that I think I took away from the press conference today, listening to all three of the guys versus just listening to all the other press conferences of all the other sports, lots of we, us, let's. Like, we doing this. We're out here doing this. We're going to get this. Like, this team is so honed in and channeled in on not only their good energy, but the people around them. Like someone asked Travis something similar today about like, what are your thoughts about the 3P, blah, blah, blah. And he's just kind of like, you know, we only answer the question when y'all ask us. He was like, but it's just something that's understood. Like, we don't have to sit and basically talk about every day how we're going after a three-peat because it's something that's already known. Like, it's an expectation at this point. Yeah. So, like, we're past that.
Knows. And he and Isaiah Pacheco both said in their pressers today, it's like, all you can do is one day at a time. All you can do is get better every single day. You can't focus on, okay, well, we got to get immediately to the Super Bowl. No, you have a lot of freaking games to play. Mm-hmm. You have to win your division first. And you focus on trying to get the one seed. If you can't do that, you got to make it through the gauntlet of the playoffs once again, which, I mean, I have all the faith in the world in this team because we saw last season, our regular season was a disaster. Yeah.
And at this point, they can lose six games, and I'm like, we're going to win the Super Bowl.
It'll be fine. Like,
we can lose six games, and I'm like, yeah, we're still going to win the Super Bowl.
They did that last year, so.
Yeah. I'm like, I'll be clear.
Technically, our starting team only won 10 games last season. It was our backups that won the 11th game in at the Chargers.
Bless. And so, it's funny because when you think of – oh, shoot, what was I just about to say? Clearly I'm tired. Oh, the AFC. God bless. I wanted to say something about the AFC. The AFC is really good this year. They're better this year than they were last year. So
do you think
for that one seat? I do think so.
Say that every year.
Well, they're well, the NFC is terrible. I stand by that. I mean that. There's only
The AFC is definitely better than the NFC. I fully
agree. There's only two or three good teams in the NFC. And the AFC is better with different teams. Like this year, it's like, God dang it. The Texans are going to be one of those teams.
Yes.
The Ravens are still really good. Like they added to their run. They added Derrick Henry. Like what the world? Like why did y'all go and do that? Lamar Jackson's down like 10 or 12 pounds. Like,
which I wonder how that's going to go for him.
I think it'll go good. I think it'll go fine. Like, the reason why I think that'll be fine is because Lamar Jackson can take a hit. And if anything, he's just going to – it's going to make him maybe faster. It's going to make him – he's already, like, slippery when you think about it.
He'll definitely be faster, for sure. I just think – in terms
I think
of
him losing that weight, like if I lost 12 pounds today, do you know how much better I would feel? Like,
I know.
I would be like, I can jump through hoops. I can do this. I can do that. Like, there's so many different things I would be able to do if I was down 12 pounds right now. So I definitely think, and it's not like, that's why I said earlier, like losing weight as an athlete, you could tell when people like did Ozempic or they like legit like cleaned up their food and drank more water and really changed up their workouts and they still have muscle.
Lost a lot of weight too. Who else is that? Who am I thinking of?
Tua,
yeah.
He does not look healthy. So like, I feel like, him losing
weight—it's
giving Ozempic, but him losing weight versus like Lamar and Isaiah Pacheco, like it's they different. Still look very good. They still look very healthy. Tua looks like he dropped a ton of weight, and I don't want to say I guess in a quick amount of time. I guess it's been like 6 months, and that's a lot of time to lose weight.
I guess but
Jesus Christ, like he looked—he didn't even. When y'all showed me a picture of Tua, I was like, that's not Tua.
That's not him. No.
That's not him at all. Like, that's a doppelganger. It's not him.
Totally not Tua.
So, yeah. I don't know. So, we'll see. But, I mean, the Dolphins, they still got better. Like, I feel like a lot of teams in the AFC, the only team that got worse in the AFC was the freaking Bills.
Well, as, like, contenders.
Yeah. And they're still going to make it because of who they are.
I know. And honestly, well, the Bills, I feel like they have, which I've seen some of their fans say, is that they have, like, less expectations this year, which I think is interesting.
Oh, they should.
Because they do have a really young team, and you shouldn't, I mean, I think you should still make the playoffs, and I think you'll probably win your division. I don't know, because, listen, Aaron Rodgers, who God only knows, he didn't show up for minicamp today due to an inexcused absence.
Yeah.
So that's a whole other story, which everyone has all this hope for the Jets. It's like, I think it's just the funny offseason takes of like all the media people like, oh, Jets are going to be, you know, whatever.
You can tell it's the offseason.
Right. Well, in the off-season time, I think the AFC South is going to be really competitive. I'm really excited.
Absolutely.
I think the Colts, like if Anthony Richardson can stay healthy, I think he's a guy.
Yeah. The Colts are going to be so freaking good.
The Titans are clearly trying to do something. Yeah. It all depends on if Will Levis can step up. I have no idea. He was okay last season.
And I don't think he will. I don't think they added that many pieces to make him
that. They gave him a lot of talent at quarterback. I mean, wide receiver. They have D-Hop. They have Calvin Ridley. And they have Tyler Boyd.
And they got L'Jarius Sneed.
And they got Sneed in the back. Yeah. Like,
they're trying. They're definitely. I mean, their defense got cooked last year. So adding L'Jarius Sneed was very, very
smart. They do not have an excuse to not be decent.
At least decent.
It's really up to Will Levis. So
that's why I go back to say, like, the AFC is still really good. And so we will be fighting for that number one seed. And the difference is like last year we lost 6 games and went on the road and played 3 and still won.
Yeah.
We don't need to do that this year. We just need to be better. Like, if you're going to lose games, you need to lose, like, your NFC games and not your AFC games. Like,
please.
Go lose to the Falcons. Yeah. Go lose to the Saints.
Like, I won't like it, but I'll be more okay with it.
Yeah, like, as long as it didn't change in the AFC, then it is what it is. So.
And then I feel like what we haven't touched too much on, which we can dive into a little more, like, in a few weeks, but I just feel like the AFC West kind of gave up this season.
Oh yeah, we're gonna have a whole show on the AFC West.
Minus Jim Harbaugh going to the Chargers. I feel like
Bo
there's
Nicks.
That.
Bo
yeah, Bo
Nicks.
Bo Zach Nicks. Wilson. Zach Wilson is in our division now. And Bo Nicks.
Zach Wilson. No, I'm not gonna say that.
And Aiden O'Connell.
It's.
And Gardner Minshew. Like, it's just
just give us the AFC championship now. Like, just give us the AFC West banner on banner night when we drop the Super Bowl. Just give them both to us at the same time and make it easier for us. Honestly, because this is ridiculous. Yes. No, we need to have a whole entire conversation about the AFC West because there's a lot to dive into there. And
there really is.
I don't. And I have thoughts about the last game of the season, but again, going to wait on that. I'm like, we can wait on that. Going to wait on that. I did want to talk kind of a little bit about Drew Tranquil today because he was the only defensive player who spoke on the podium today. And, I think somebody in the press conference, they said, Drew, what is it like being the Chiefs fan favorite? And he was like, oh, my God, do you guys think I'm the fan favorite? Like,
they called him Mr. Kansas City.
Yeah. And so he was just like, really, me? And I'm like, yes, Drew.
Yeah.
You. So I don't know if y'all follow him on Instagram. Him and Jackie are my favorite people.
They're so cute.
Jackie is his wife. And last night, I don't know if you saw, like, they moved into, like, their new home or something. And so they're just standing there dancing around the living room, singing with country music blasting real loud. And the baby's just in the background, just, like, having a time. And I was sitting there the whole time. And I'm like, I'm obsessed with these people. Like, I'm so obsessed with this family. But, you know, it was kind of nice listening to Drew. And I want to make sure I say it correctly. But he spoke, like, he's talked so much about how he, like, loves Kansas City and, like, loves being in Kansas City. And he said that, like, him and his family are just so happy that they get to be here for, like, another 3 years. And he was like, it's a championship mentality. And I remember when I just first got here, he was like, it just felt different. He's like, it just felt different. Like, you could tell it was, like, a championship mentality. He was like, everybody was just different, like, the mentality was different. They all grinded different. He was like, it felt different and it felt good. Like, this felt like the right place for me to be. He was like, so when they reached out to me about wanting to, you know, give me a contract, he was just kind of like, yeah, like, absolutely. Like, yes. Like, yes, I want to stay in Kansas City. It's so, like, I think we already knew how bought in Drew Tranquil was based off of him saying last year at the Super Bowl parade how much L.A. was terrible and how much he loved Kansas City. But that dude is really, like, bought and sold in. And, like, I could see the Chiefs, like, figuring out a way, even once his contract is done, maybe doing, like, another 1 year deal or something with him. Yeah. And him retiring in Kansas City. Like, I could see that coming from a Drew Tranquil just because of what his energy is, how good he is, how much upside he has, his passion for the city. Like, it feels different from other players. Like, you can tell some players are like, I want a bag. Oh my God, I love Kansas City, but I really want to get paid.
Yeah.
It's different for him. Like, they got three little babies. He has a beautiful wife. It seems like they want somewhere to settle down. So I'm very, very happy for them.
And this is a really good place to do that. And he's seen the other side of it where it's like, no, like he got here and it was completely different. And he spoke really highly of Travis Kelce today. He was saying he's a guy that's going into his 12th year, which is crazy to think about already. But he's like,
I remember when we first drafted Travis. Oh, like, my God.
Crazy. It's year 12. Like, God, we're getting old.
I'm old. If it's Travis Kelce's year 12, then I'm old.
I'm old. But he was saying it's like, he's like a guy that's just like a little kid that's excited to be out there. And to see someone like that level that's accomplished everything you can accomplish.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Except, you know, maybe a three-peat would be like the next biggest thing you could do. But to see a guy like that, to be that excited to be at practice every day, to be like that good for the locker room. And just, I just think it speaks to what we have going on here in Kansas City. And that is why we continue winning. Like, these other guys, well, half of them, I mean, most teams don't even know what it's like to have a championship mentality because
most teams don't even know what it's like to win their division.
No, unless you came from this kind of team, like, you really don't know. Or you're having beginner's luck or whatever, but like
some people haven't won their division in more than 5 years or 10 years. Can you imagine?
No.
I mean, yeah, no, seriously, but it definitely used to like,
but now
those are the slum days. But now that I can brag because my team has 4 rings.
Yeah, what were those days? I don't even know.
I don't even want to go back and relive those days of,
But yeah, no, I really love Drew Tranquil. I'm really excited he's here. He always just has the best press conferences. Like, if y'all need to be in a good mood, just go watch Drew Tranquil in a press conference for the Chiefs, and you'll have a better day.
Absolutely. Well, I don't have anything else for today because I feel like if we start something else, then we're going to be here all night.
Yeah, well, we have an exciting announcement for Thursday. A little bit exciting.
Ooh, did I make a banner about that? Oh, I did.
Ah, okay.
No, so I was like, I couldn't remember if I did or not.
As y'all know, the Chiefs, back-to-back Super Bowl champions, are getting their Super Bowl rings for Super Bowl 58 on Thursday. And it's going to be like 100 degrees here.
It's going to be... So I didn't realize today it was so hot.
Yeah.
And then I was like, let me look at the rest of the week. And I was like, oh, snap.
Oh, it's about to get hot.
Yeah. It's hot here.
Yeah. It's summer. We're in the dog days of summer right now. It's mid-June, and that's when it gets hot in Kansas City. So
it's like 90 every day until next Friday.
And then what? It's like 89?
Like... On Friday, it's 89. All there the other go. Days are 90.
Yeah. Yeah. Mid-90s, so we're not doing well. But, yeah, so our guys are all going to be out there in their nice three-piece suits and 100-degree weather on Thursday.
They better put some linen on.
So they postponed the ring ceremony, I think, a little while just to kind of get to that lower heat index. But Jody and I are going to be on with our friend Darren, who is going to be – live from the red carpet. We're going to be joining him on his live broadcast from the red carpet. And we're going to be kind of just interviewing with him. We're going to start off with him. And then once the guys and coaches start arriving, then we'll get to kind of talk to some of the players and ask them some questions. And we are super, super excited for this opportunity. And just to just ask them some questions and
absolutely
see the ring. And it's just so much excitement. So super excited.
Yeah, super excited. Super grateful to have this opportunity as well to be able to be a part of the red part, be a part of the red carpet, even though it's virtual. And we'll be able to talk to you guys in the comments. So if y'all have questions or anything like that that y'all come up with that y'all want us to ask on the fly, you can put those in the comments section. And of course, we're going to edit them. But we will, you know, if it's a great question and we have the time, we'll definitely try to get all of you guys' questions brought up too. So be thinking of those questions. Again, that's this Thursday. I have no clue of what time the ceremony even starts.
So I think they start arriving to the red carpet around 6:30.
Ooh.
And it'll be like 6:30 to 7:30 will be arrivals. We'll be on with Darren around like 5:30, 5:45, just kind of talking pre-show stuff. And then the guys will start arriving around 6:30. So, and we'll get to see players and coaches, and you never know who might show up. I mean, they're all going to be there, but.
Oh, we're gay. I wonder if he's coming.
Oh, it's Sneed and.
I know. All the old guys.
All the guys.
Yeah. So, super excited for Thursday. Make sure y'all tap in with us.
It's going to be a lot of times. Yeah.
Great oldies. Good times. Let's get into this sponsor. Shout out to Ken Seltzer. I don't have any.
They're this all is my gone. Last one. So
I don't have any. They're all gone. Shout out to Ken Seltzer, the sponsor of Kingdoms Queens podcast. Delicious seltzers. They have two right now. They have the pineapple.
There'll be no KT or Sky Moore bashing. No, we'll be nice on the red carpet.
No, I'm kidding. Shout out to Ken Seltzer, the sponsor. Two delicious flavors right now that are really perfect for this 100-degree weather. Like, my goodness. Like, pretty perfect if you think about it. Super good just over ice. You can mix it if you would like. You don't have to. You can even mix it with juice if you don't want to mix it with alcohol. It's just really good, clean, refreshing. Good with your barbecue. Sit out on the patio. Enjoy the hot weather. Watch some of whatever is happening right now. Both cans at about 100 calories each. All fruit, no artificial sugars. You can pick the cans up from a lot of different locations in Kansas City, but our favorite place to go is Border Brewery. Ken Seltzer just had a huge event this past Friday for First Fridays in Kansas City at Border Brewery, and it was super cool. Sad I didn't get to go, but I've seen a lot of the clips and a lot of the videos of what happened. So there's a lot of different things going on with the sponsor this summer in the city. So as those things approach, we'll let you guys know too, because they'll be doing giveaways and all kind of fun stuff. So shout out to the sponsor. Thank you so much. And yeah, that's all I got.
That's it.
Oh, I got to close this out too. Thank y'all for hanging out with Kingdom Queen. I'm like, now that it's just two of us, I'm like, shout out to y'all for hanging out with Kingdom Queens. It looks like there's about 870 people with the live stream coming in from all over. And we're super grateful for y'all. As we get into the summer months, we probably will start going bi-weekly until we get to training camp. Plus, me and Lexi got traveling to do. Like, we got things to do this summer too, y'all. We're trying to have some fun. But
we are working on a few special guests, so stay tuned for that.
Yeah, but I feel like that's been our all season.
We've
been
guests,
so we always try to bring things that are interactive and fun for y'all as well. But if you are not, go to our YouTube page and click the subscribe button. Like, that's it. Also, make sure you're following us on all platforms. We are on Twitter, which is, I guess, X. We're on Instagram. And you can also listen to us on Apple and Spotify the next day. So, yes, if you're not following us, follow our hashtags at Lexi Osborne, at Ish Jody Newsom. You have Peter. Peter has been our longest time subscriber, and we love him for that. So, but no, shout out to everybody listening. We're super grateful for y'all. We appreciate y'all. We will see y'all on Thursday this week. And yeah, I think that's all we got.
All right. Love y'all.
Bye.